The Grand River was crossed by a bridge at this location from the earliest times. It was, of course, a covered bridge originally, one of the widest bridges actually in Michigan when it was built, with two lanes of traffic, plus two sidewalk areas all under a roof. Of course, it washed out periodically whenever there was the spring ice flows. And if at some later time you'd like to take a look over the south railing of the bridge, there are what looks like ship's prows made out of concrete sticking out of the water. Those are designed to break up the ice that approaches the bridge. The earlier bridges, of course, were timber, and they didn't have those, so they gave way fairly often. What's most interesting about this location is you can see where the mill race dented into the river from here. It passed under Franklin Street and across at the corner of Franklin and Turner, which is now Grand River and Turner, to serve a large flour mill on the corner opposite the industrial district on the northwest corner of Turner and Franklin, a mill called Pearl Flour, and then a large planing operation that stood along the river just north of the bridge. If you look over the edge, you'll see there is a large arch, a seam in the concrete foundation of the Sirpizza. That portion of the foundation was poured when the auto body works replaced the planing mill around the turn of the century, about 1910. When that foundation was poured, the mill race was still functioning, so that opening was there to allow the water to pass back into the river. It was later, of course, cemented in, but you can see the outline of the archway there. The Sirpizza stands on that foundation, a foundation which eventually, from about 1910 till about 1920, stretched along the river all along the west side of the river for several hundred feet. The company that operated there made auto bodies for the Olds Motor Works. We know that for a long time, General Motors used bodies made by a different body company called Fisher Body Company. In fact, before that, it bought parts from other companies, as did the Rio Company. The idea of assembling cars from subcontractor components was not a new idea. It was there from the very beginning. If you look to the northeast across the street, you'll see a block of storefront buildings. These represent probably the second and third generation of commercial structures that were built in North Lansing. Originally, both sides of the street were lined with frame buildings that look a lot like the types of buildings you see in Western movies, with wooden sidewalks in front of them. Many of them were probably not painted because they were supposed to be temporary. What happened then was that as the merchants and building owners prospered, they built more impressive buildings to reflect their new prosperity, their stability, and their success. In the early 1870s and late 1860s, the buildings were generally in the Italian style. The two buildings further to the east exhibit that style. You can see that one of them is somewhat less expensive than the other. It's three stories tall, but the hoods over the windows are made out of brick. The one next to it, to the west, is a little more elaborate, a little more expensive. It's only two stories, but it has stone hoods over the windows and an elaborate cornice. These are both in the Italian style, but they exhibit different degrees of wealth. As you pass west from there, you'll see a very fancy building, in red brick and stone, in what's usually called Queen Anne style. This building was designed by Lansing's premier architect of the 19th century, a man named Darius Moon. It's a classic of that style. The use of elaborate amounts of stone, all of it elaborately cut, put together with red brick, are characteristics of the style. And you can see the date at the top, 1890. The westmost building was a building that was an investment property built by the man that ran the mill at the dam, and it's generally regarded as Richardsonian Romanesque. The Romanesque style, for the most part, uses stone, and it's named after a man named H.H. Richardson that was a Chicago architect, but it was quite popular in Lansing for quite a while. And it's characterized not only by stone, in this case fieldstone, dressed fieldstone, and redstone from the upper peninsula at the bottom story, and it has arches. And those arches are a classic feature of the Richardsonian style. Originally, the commercial district of North Lansing included the area on Grand River, which is now a parking lot, running up to the bank on the east that was all filled with buildings, including right over the mill race. There was a building standing on the mill race. Those buildings were all similar to the rest of the buildings initially. In that they were wood, they were all later redone in brick. Many of them burned in the late 60s and 70s when there was a rash of arson in North Lansing. That area hasn't been rebuilt, but it was the area that had the most telling indications that North Lansing was a separate town. That's where the post office was. That's where the Odd Fellows Hall was. The Masons Hall was in the building immediately to west of the opening. So all of these functions, the fraternal organizations, the commercial shopping functions, communications, all of these things were located here, so a person really didn't have to leave North Lansing to live a complete life. They would work at the mill, shop in the shops here, use the post office here, belong to a fraternal organization here, and so on, without ever leaving the town. This was the time, of course, when decentralization characterized most towns, and most small communities like this were almost self-sustaining. In addition to the heavy industry that occurred at the mills, a lot of the second-story lofts included cottage industries. And in North Lansing, there was the manufacture of such things like gloves, other leather products, and among other things, cigars. There was a time when Lansing was a major cigar maker, and we'll see a building shortly that was largely devoted to the rolling of cigars. This is the end of Track 4. Please walk east to Turner Street, take a left, and travel to the Creole Gallery at 1218 Turner Street.